Proverbs chapter 24 this morning. And we begin reading at verse 30. I went by the field of the slothful and by the vineyard of the man void of understanding. And lo, it was all grown over with thorns, and nettles had covered the face thereof, and the stone wall thereof was broken down. Then I saw and considered it well. I looked upon it and received instruction. Yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep. So shall thy poverty come as one that traveleth, and thy want or thy lack as an armed man. Well, because God is amazing, his word is amazing. I mean, really, when you know the Lord, you know how incredible he is. And when you know his word and you dig into his word, you realize how amazing and inexhaustible the word of God is. And because God wants us to grasp his word, I mean, he didn't write this to be confusing. Now, there are difficult parts, of course, but it's not written to be confusing. He wants us to grasp his word. He teaches his truth in ways in which we can understand. And one of the ways that the Bible teaches us truth is through real life illustrations. And that's exactly what we find here in today's text. And I just want to devotionally consider this morning with the time we have. Some people are visual learners. Anybody in here visual learners? Yeah, I mean, I'm kind of that. I guess it doesn't have to be for me. Visual is so much structured. Like, I've got to have some structure to it, or else it's just, you know, it doesn't make sense. It's confusing. It messes me up. But some people are visual learners. In other words, they can better grasp. Those of you who are know what I'm talking about. You can better grasp a truth or a concept when you can picture it. You can kind of visually picture what it is that the truth represents or is talking about. And in today's text, we find Solomon using a real-life object to teach a valuable spiritual lesson. We see this throughout the scripture, again, because God wants us to know his word. But I really appreciated this one. And now, let me say, it was very difficult for me to find exactly what I was looking for as far as the picture that I want here. Because this looks kind of pretty and idyllic and really beautiful, but it's not supposed to, all right? It's supposed to be just kind of weeds and thorns kind of growing up. And it was hard to find a picture that is a dilapidated field, but that happens to have a little retaining wall. I couldn't find it. This is the best I could do. So I know this, to you and me, this might look pretty, but it's not supposed to, okay? So picture yourself walking by this field like Solomon. Solomon walks by and he sees a field overgrown with thorns and thistles. And he sees a field in which there is a wall, like a containing wall in disrepair. And the prospect for this plot yielding fruit was very bleak. I mean, this is what he sees. In fact, you can kind of consider, you know, this is a little bit more, you know, I found this too. You know, you're walking by this field and you see the thorns and the thistles. I grew up in the country, and when I see that, I just think of like getting those things in my socks and just, oh, pulling them out and itching and my ankles itching and getting all those little, whatever in your socks. And oh, it's terrible. But that's the idea. This is what Solomon sees. The problem here that wasn't an unusual one from what we just read, because there are certain laws of nature that were naturally at work. I mean, a lot of us can picture this. I mean, what happens to your yard when you do nothing to it? Well, you can drive by my house and there will be a perfect illustration and example of that, all right? Much to the neighbor's chagrin, but hey, you know, we're in a drought, right? So, you know, you don't do anything to your yard. You don't do anything to your plot of land or your property. I mean, this is the kind of thing that happens to it. I know that's a little green. I just need to get off that. This is the kind of thing that happens to it. So, oh, sorry. I tried to get it. So, I tried to get it before anybody saw it. It's on Kelly? Yeah, it's right under your foot, Kelly. Sorry. I was trying to be discreet, all right? You got it. Thank you. Thank you. Okay. This is a weird Sunday morning for me so far. I know. I've got the keys. All right. Okay. I tried to be subtle. All right. But that's what happens to your yard when you do nothing to it. Slothfulness and neglect inevitably bring barrenness in the physical realm. They bring thorns and thistles and barrenness. But we find that the exact same truth is in the spiritual realm. And this is what Solomon is pointing out to us here. Solomon, in the book of Proverbs, looks at this field, and he made more than just a physical observation. Solomon looked at this field and drew a spiritual comparison. Look at verse 32 again in chapter 24. Then I saw and considered it well. Notice verse 32. I looked upon it and received instruction. See this? I mean, when Solomon's walking by and he sees this grown over field with, you know, thistles and the retaining wall is broken down, he does more than just see the natural laws at work, the laws of nature at work. Instead, he sees something and makes spiritual application, which is exactly what we need to do. We need to learn spiritual lessons, and we're going to learn a spiritual lesson from this situation. So let's consider the scene and receive the instruction that Solomon did that God has for us. Because the spiritual truths here with what Solomon saw directly parallel the physical. So it would do us good to take some time to consider the lessons that we have from this picture. And that's what we want to do this morning. We're going to consider, like Solomon did, the laborer or the landowner. There's a lesson here in the landowner, the laborer or lack of labor, as we're going to see here. The land, which we're going to see really is our spiritual fruit or lack thereof, and the loss, the consequences of slothfulness in our spiritual life, and make some applications. So number one, let's look at the laborer first of all, which is really a picture of us. It's a picture. This landowner here is a picture of us and our Christian life and of our Christian walk. These are the spiritual truths that Solomon gleaned from this picture. The landowner, the laborer, had a responsibility of exercising diligence in working hard and caring for his property. I mean, here it is. He's got his property here, and you know, he has a responsibility. And he also had the potential of considerable gain from that property. If you look at Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 23, Solomon earlier tells us to keep thy heart with all diligence. Notice this, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. The word keep in its context here has the idea of tending to or giving attention to. We read this verse all the time, keep thy heart, and we think, well, what does that mean? What does this mean to keep your heart? Well, you know, keep it from falling out of your body, keep it from plugging up with plaque, keep it from what? No, tend to it. You know, tend to it is the idea here. Give attention to it. Just as one would give attention, it's an agrarian term, just as one would give attention to a field or give attention to some kind of plot of land to allow it to prosper. Keep thy heart, give attention to it, tend to it. Don't just let it grow over. Don't be slothful in allowing the natural state of things to come to the place that, as we're going to see, there is rotten thorns and thistles rather than spiritual fruit produced. Keep thy heart. The Hebrew word there, keep, means to guard, to look after, to maintain. Clearly, at one point, I think the property that Solomon saw was well managed. And what's the clue we get there that at one point, this property that he saw had a well-managed, it was managed very well. I think the key is there is the retaining wall. I mean, think about it. You don't build a little retaining wall for no reason. At one point, it was well-managed. There was a wall built around it, as we're going to see, to protect the property, to keep the little things out that needed to be out. But Solomon was able to learn about the character of the landowner from considering the condition of the field. And back in Proverbs 24, we find the character of this landowner. Number one, he was slothful or lazy. He was slothful or lazy. He was tired of taking the time to do what he needed to do to upkeep, to keep, to guard, to tend to give attention to the land. He just refused to put the effort into maintaining and cultivating something that's so important and valuable And the reasons could be many as to why he gave up, why he became lazy, why he became slothful, why he or she just kind of felt like, I'm going to let it go. There could be a million different reasons, but the point is, that is what happened. The landowner was lazy. The landowner was slothful. From our text, we also see that the landowner was senseless or void of understanding. The problem stemmed from within. Look at verse 30. I went by the field of the slothful, by the vineyard of the man void of understanding, not exercising the sense that he needed. He didn't grasp the gravity of tending to the field and the consequences of letting it fall to ruin. He didn't have the desire to do what was right. And Solomon's looking at this and he's saying, man, there are some real spiritual lessons here as I see this untended field. As I see the individual who owns this piece of property, I see that person slothful. I see that person senseless. The person just kind of gave up for whatever reason. They don't realize the value that they have. They don't realize the potential value in this land and the need to cultivate the right kind of fruit. And the fact of the matter is, laziness or slothfulness is so often deceptively disguised. A lot of times when we're lazy and we let our spiritual field, which is our spiritual lives, our heart, when we just kind of let it go and we kind of give up, oftentimes, and this is true personally, and it's true, I know, in the lives of other people, we've seen this. This is true in the one who is spiritually asleep, convinced that everything's fine. Oh, I'm fine. I'm fine. There's no problem with me. Verse 30. I went by the field of the slothful, by the vineyard of the man void of understanding. Notice back in chapter 26 and verse 16, what Solomon says. The sluggard, that's this person, this slothful, senseless man, is wiser in his own conceit than seven men that can render a reason. So many times when we are lazy and slothful and we are not upkeeping our spiritual heart, our plot of land, we think we're okay. Oh, I'm fine. Who are you to tell me? Who are you to give me the impression that nothing's wrong with me? You know, something's wrong with me. Nothing's wrong with me. I mean, I can tell you, oh, here's the reason I haven't been in church. Here's the reason I haven't been studying the Bible. Here's the reason I haven't been, you know, walking the Christian walk as I should. Here's the reason I haven't been praying. And there's all kinds of reasons. There are all kinds of excuses. And yet Solomon's just laying it out. This is a sluggard. This is a slothful person who is senseless, who doesn't understand and grasp the seriousness of keeping one's heart, of tending one's field, of putting the time and the effort into this important property. Self-deceived. This person doesn't understand the implications of neglecting his duty. So that's why Solomon describes this person as one who is, in verse 30, void of understanding. I mean, it's true of so many believers today, and I'm not just pointing the finger out there. It's been true in my life, and maybe it's been true of yours as well. So many professing Christians, we think we're fine in our own eyes, but in reality, our field is a dilapidated mess. Our spiritual life, our hearts, spiritually, we're a mess. We're grown over with thorns and thistles, and we think it looks okay. And yet God looks at it, and even other Christians can look at it, and like, that's what they see. Like, ooh, back to the front of my house. All right. The more you just let things go, it all started with a drought and we couldn't water. And so then I got some sod and then I got conned by people who came and fertilized it and it all died and whatever. So I have all kinds of excuses. But anyway, the more that I go in and out, the more it looks normal to me. Like, I don't care, you know? Yeah, it's the grass is dead and it's brown. There's little spots of green. I do water it occasionally just so when the gardener guy comes, there will be something for him to edge and whatever. But, you know, it doesn't look that bad to me because I'm used to it. Now, it looks bad to me, but I'm saying I am used to it, okay? So I drive up there. Every single time I drive into my house, I just go, oh, you know? But you're this self-deceived. Hey, everything's fine. Doesn't look that bad. I'm not in that bad of a position, spiritually speaking. Christians today, so many, including ourselves, think we're fine as we live wise in our own eyes or according to our own understanding, but we're self-deceived. What's the New Testament's exhortation concerning this? Turn to Romans 13. Look over at Romans 13. In Romans chapter 13 and verse 11, the Apostle Paul is writing this to the church at Rome, and he says to us today, knowing the time, it is now high time to wake up, to awake out of sleep, this lazy, slothful slumbering. And Paul's talking, is he talking about literally waking up from sleep? No, he's talking spiritually. Wake up. Wake up from the slothful slumbering of not tending to your field, your heart, your spiritual life that Solomon looked out and was making spiritual application. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. In other words, there's a sense of urgency. We need to continue to wake up and tend our field. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore, there's practical living application. Let us cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envy. See, those are the things that happen naturally when the field's left untended, because it's easy. I mean, how easy is it to walk in rioting and drunkenness? Not hard at all. It's fun. And the flesh, it's easy. And chambering and wantonness, I mean, this idea of just living, satiating your flesh, living for self, it's easy. In strife and envying, I mean, it's easy. But, Paul says, put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ. Clothe yourself with who you are and who you know you are in Christ. Remember, know, reckon, yield, Romans chapter 7. Know, reckon, and yield. Put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lusts thereof. See, this is kind of the New Testament parallel to Solomon, looking at the slothful sluggard in the Old Testament and saying, man, this person needs to wake up. And we come to the New Testament, and Paul says, wake up. Wake up. Your salvation is nearer now than the moment you came to know Christ as Savior. Wake up and start living life, cultivating that spiritual fruit, cultivating your spiritual life, because Christ could be here at any moment. He could come at any time. Are you ready? Now, not just are you ready as far as your relationship with God, your salvation. Are you ready to meet him as far as the fruit? Or as John puts it this way, are you going to be ashamed before him when he comes? Now, I'll still be glad he's coming. Well, amen. Thank the Lord. The Lord's here, you know. But, I'm not where I need to be. And God knows that. No, don't be ashamed before him. Cultivate. Wake up. Tend to your spiritual life right now. That's what Paul is saying here in the New Testament. Well, the landowner, because he's lazy, because he's self-deceived, he's going to tend to make excuses for his lack of attention to his field. Back in Proverbs chapter 24, he's a procrastinator. Verse 33, yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep. He's a procrastinator. He comes up with a myriad of excuses, whether imagined or real. And of course, we have all the, I'm not going to take the time to turn there, but in Proverbs, you know, there's a lion in the street. I can't, you know, or imagine excuses, or sometimes there's real reasons legitimately to not move ahead with what we need to do. But Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, every man shall receive his own reward according to his own. What's the language Paul uses in the next word? His own labor. Oh. There's work, for we are laborers together with God. You're field tenders. You are a tender of a field together with God. And the field is our own life, your spiritual life. So Paul is saying, labor. There's work that needs to be done in your spiritual field. Now, we're not talking about working for salvation here. We're talking about tending our spiritual, keeping our heart, tending our spiritual field, cultivating spiritual fruit. See, these are the things that we're talking about here. Well, that is the laborer. Let's look at the land. The land is a picture of the fruit or the lack thereof in our life. We have to understand that we are never neutral in the Christian life. And I've mentioned this before, and you know, there's different ways that people can say this or put this, but we're never neutral in the Christian life. We're either moving forward and cultivating our field, you know, our spiritual life, our fellowship with the Lord, our brothers and sisters in Christ. I mean, we're cultivating that, or we are moving backward by letting nature just run its course. You know, you think, well, I'm just not doing anything. No, by not doing anything, you're regressing, because guess what's going to happen to the field? Thorns and thistles, and you're not tending to it. You're certainly not moving forward, and you're not even standing still. You're moving backward, spiritually speaking, in your spiritual growth, which is why, remember, as we saw in Hebrews, the author of Hebrews had to tell the Hebrews, hey, you know what? We got to go back to the rudimentary truths here. We should be moving on. You know, I should be able to talk to you about things that are a little more heavy, a little more deep, more meat of the word, and I can't. We got to stick with the spiritual, the milk. We have to understand we're never neutral. Just like a field, we're always producing something. You ever thought about that? Like, a field is always producing something. It's either producing fruit or it's producing weeds. It's producing, you know, beautiful things or ugly things. Yes, and wildflowers are ugly and they are weeds, okay? They are. They're weeds. That's the way sin and Satan works. Oh, it's so pretty. I mean, you know, I remember my dad always telling the story of these. The worst thing, because we know, growing up in Idaho and the southern Idaho dryland wheat farm, what they called it. He said if his dad would go see one of those little mustard plants out there, he'd full on get off the tractor and walk all the way, however far it was, to go pull that thing up. And nothing made my dad more mad than people that would come to the church down out in Los Osos way years ago, and they'd see all this mustard in just the field. And, oh, that's so pretty. That yellow is so pretty. It's like, those are the worst weeds. Those are the most invasive species of anything that ruins livelihoods of farmers and people. That's what wildflowers are. They're weeds. But this is we need to grasp this fact. We're always producing something. The untended soul will always produce its natural fruit, thorns and thistles of sin. Verse 31. And lo, it was all grown over with thorns, and nettles had covered the face thereof, and the stone wall thereof was broken down. Turn over to Romans again, in Romans chapter 6. In Romans chapter 6 and verse 11, the Apostle Paul is telling us to likewise reckon, declare it to be true, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. This is what Paul had mentioned, what we just saw in chapter 13 down the road a little ways. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ so as to not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. Verse 12, let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. Get the weeds out. Deal with the weeds. Tend to the garden. Cultivate your plot of land. Because when you do nothing, you let sin just reign in your mortal body, you become enslaved to it, and it reigns in your... It doesn't just exist. Notice the language Paul uses here. It doesn't say, you know, just don't let sin, you know, be in your body. It reigns. When it gets in, the root gets deep, and it reigns in your mortal body, and then you begin to obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin... But here's the positive. Tend your spiritual plot of land. Keep your heart. Yield yourselves unto God as those who are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. There's no such thing as neutrality in the Christian life. Do you see neutrality there in Romans 6, 11, 12, and 13? It's either we're either making progress and growing spiritually, or we are regressing spiritually. No such thing as neutrality. Fruit, good or bad, will be produced. You are always producing fruit. It either though looks like spiritual fruit or it looks like weeds and thorns and thistles, and I don't like to call it fruit, but you get my point. You know what I'm saying? Something's coming up from the ground. There's no such thing as neutrality. Now, I guess today you could just have a flat piece of land and put, what is the, Roundup all over it, okay? And so then nothing will come up. But I mean, say, generally speaking, without using foreign chemicals on a piece of land, something's going to come up. So this is so important for us to understand. There's no such thing as neutrality. And then we see this wall here. Remember, we're looking at the land right now. We're looking at the picture of the fruit or the lack of fruit in one's life. Look at the land. I have to go back to this one because at least there's a wall here. The wall surrounding this vineyard was for protection of the vineyard. And it was built initially because the owner wanted the protection for the vineyard. And, you know, I'm sure, okay, in this picture, just pretend it goes like all the way around. Because it's all broken down right now, so it's not complete. But, I mean, think about this. Are you maintaining the wall around your life, your heart, your spiritual plot? I mean, I'm not talking here about a wall of isolation, a wall of discernment and protection. Sound doctrine, separation, prayer, worship, godly purposes, godly motives. I mean, these are things that need to be protected. They need to be protected. We find that the land that Solomon's looking at, the stone wall thereof, it was broken down. I mean, you know, think about it. The containment wall around a field or vineyard was intended to keep the small pests out. You know, the rabbits, the squirrels. I mean, the things that are going to get it, those little things that are going to get in there and attempt to destroy the fruit, the good fruit. And you know, Solomon sees this and he's like, this laziness and this slothfulness. And even though these people might think they're totally fine and nothing's wrong and everything looks good, I'm looking at this field and I'm seeing some real problems. I mean, the wall is broken down. I mean, think about it. Think about right now your spiritual life. Is there a wall broken down? Was there a wall? Did you build a wall? Does it still exist? In regard to exercising discernment and protecting the truth and your walk with the Lord and the time with your walk with the Lord, protecting these things and viewing them as being so important that you want to protect them. See, again, sometimes the lazy, slothful person like we get, I don't care. It's all about me. Everything in life's about me. I want to do what I want to do. You know, it doesn't really bother me that, you know, I'm going this direction or I'm doing this or I'm not doing this or this is a priority in my life or this is, it doesn't really bother me. I mean, how is the field? How's the wall? How's the wall around the field? Is the wall still there? Just a question to consider. Is the wall even still there? Or is it broken down? Turn to Ephesians chapter 5 in the New Testament and we'll wrap this up here quickly. Oh, my watch stopped. Okay, Ephesians chapter 5. Well, it's eternally 10 till for me, so. Well, not eternally, but I mean until I. Okay. Ephesians chapter 5. Look at verse 8. Paul tells us, ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. So walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit, see, this is what is produced as we're walking in the light. The fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth. So we're to be proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. That proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. We read that in Romans. Have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, the wall, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. Well, the person whose field is just covered over just doesn't seem to care anymore. Verse 14, wherefore he saith, notice this, awake, thou that sleepest. Wake up. Wake up and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then, here's the fruit of that. See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, this is the fool, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. I mean, hopefully we're kind of seeing a pattern here with this Old Testament illustration elaborated upon in this New Testament truth of wake up, cultivate your spiritual life, get your priorities right, build the wall around your heart and your life, and make sure that, as we're going to see here, fruit is being produced rather than the natural flow of thorns and thistles and worthless garbage when we're moving away from proper fellowship with Christ, moving in the wrong direction. So anyway, we've seen the laborer, the landowner. We've seen the land, a picture of the fruit or lack thereof. And finally, I want to look at the loss, the picture of the consequences of laziness and apathy in the Christian life. I mean, what's ahead when you think about it? What is ahead for the sluggard? This lazy, senseless person who doesn't care to tend their spiritual life, doesn't care to tend their field, produce the fruit that God would have, the walls broken down, living for self. What's ahead for that person? Well, spiritual poverty now, but the judgment seat of Christ later. I mean, look back at verse back in Proverbs chapter 24. Look at verse 34. So shall thy poverty come as one that traveleth, and thy want or thy lack is an armed man. There is going to be a loss of reward when we stand before Jesus Christ, as well as lost blessing and fruitfulness now, if we don't exercise spiritual diligence in cultivating our lives, our spiritual field. And I have all these references that turn there. I don't have time. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, though. I mean, the judgment seat of Christ. Take heed how you're building your life spiritually and what you're building on. Because, you know, we're going to regret it someday. I'm not saying that we're going to, you know, obviously, we don't lose our salvation, but I mean, we can be ashamed. We're going to, you know, today, oh, it doesn't really matter to me today. I don't really care. I'm comfortable, and I get to do what I want to do. And someday, there's going to be a loss of reward when we stand before Christ. But even not thinking about the future, even right now, loss, blessing, and fruitfulness now is a reality, which is why, look at what Solomon says, thy poverty and thy want, lack of enjoying the blessings and fruit of obedience will be great. In fact, Solomon says that laziness and indifference will put one in the same category as the homeless man, one that traveleth, a vagabond, and as a thief who's so desperate he will rob for money. You see that? Verse 34. Thy poverty shall come as one that traveleth, a vagrant, a vagabond, homeless, however you want to say it. And thy want, thy lack, as an armed man. I mean, think about that. A thief will rob for money. And remember, it's not simply gross sin or rebellion that brings loss. But notice verse 33 again. Just a little sleep. Just a little slumber. Just a little folding of the hands to sleep. It doesn't take much for us to really lose everything with regard to allowing our spiritual lives to be overrun with garbage. I mean, Solomon's looking out and he's seeing this and he's making an incredible spiritual application. If our inner man is in a condition comparable to the field of the slothful that Solomon saw here, then it's high time to awake out of sleep. That's what Paul is telling us in the New Testament. Wake up. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. Put put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't make provision for the lust of the flesh. There is a price to pay for spiritual slothfulness and a loss of the good things that God has for us, not only down the road in the future, but right now. Right now. God wants to use you. I've said it before. He doesn't need to use you. He wants to. But he's going to use a vessel that is meet and prepared for his use. Not perfect. Not a perfect vessel. But one that is meet and prepared for his use. Which means there needs to be a nice cultivated fruit, and there needs to be a wall around, and all of these things are so important. Well, what does your field look like? Is it a mess? I mean, this is something only you can answer. I'm not telling you what your field looks like. You have to answer the question. What does your field look like? Is it a mess? Or is your soul prospering because of your diligence of taking care of your spiritual life and your walk with Christ? I mean, this is so important to consider. I mean, again, this is what Solomon was considering. This is what you want. Are you willing to consider well the state of your spiritual inner being? If not, it's high time to awake up and attend to the responsibilities that we've all been given. I mean, this is a beautiful picture of a thriving spiritual field. I mean, you've got, you know, there's a fence around it. It's just, you can't see it. It's so big. So there's a fence around it. And there's fruit coming out, and it's cultivated well, and it looks attractive to the Lord. It isn't good enough, though, to simply want God's blessing and his best for our lives. We need to roll up our sleeves and get to work doing what we know we need to do every day in God's way, according to God's rules, not our own, not according to what we feel like. I don't feel like. One of the things I was going to say this, one of the things I really appreciate about Grace Bible Church, and I thank Pastor Gary for this. I mean, I appreciate the fact we're not, you know, this church isn't a slave driving church. I mean, we're not every single day we got stuff going and you have to be here. You know what I mean? It's like we live lives. We're out in the world. But come on, once a month we have a men's Bible study. Let's make it, and I know every single month of the year you can't, but I'm saying let's make it a priority. A women's Bible study, a Wednesday night. I mean, we meet together on the Lord's Day for the Lord's Day. Let's make the most of the opportunities that we have. And let's make these spiritual things in our lives a priority. Once, even if it's once a day, spending some time in the Word of God, just once a day. Is that too much to ask out of 24 hours to take five? Maybe you can only, I'm just saying something, cultivating the spiritual life, because it's a priority to you. Because if it's not a priority to me, and if it's not a priority to you, something's going to be growing, and it's not going to be this. It's not going to look like that when it's not tended. That's my point. Now, Solomon's point, it's not going to look like that if it's not tended. Slothfulness, senselessness only brings about this. And that's what God sees too. Now, of course, he sees you clothed in the righteousness of Jesus Christ, but when it comes to your fellowship and your usability, this is written so we might be able to check up and see, okay, what's my field look like? Time to end. Heavenly Father, thank you for the time you've given us this morning just to consider from Proverbs. Just consider this reality of the fact that our lives are fields, our hearts are fields, and Lord, we're either producing fruit or thistles and snares, weeds. Help us, Lord, to be people who make much of our walk with you and keep our heart with all diligence, Lord, because it's not easy in the flesh. So we ask for your help and we ask for your strength. Pray for Pastor Gary as he ministers the word to us this morning. May we learn from the truths that he will share with us from Scripture. May you be glorified in all things. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.